This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Lynn Mark and Noah Lim in the studio this morning. In half an hour, we've got The Breakfast Grill. Philip C. will be speaking with Hari V. Krishnan, the CEO of Property Guru. Noel, why don't you tell us what's going to happen?
Well, I'm predicting what Philip's going to be talking to him. But what we know is this. Since October 2020, Property Guru reported that it has become Malaysia's most visited property website. I think they average something like 8 million visits per month. Quite impressive. Yeah, so I'm quite curious, actually, in this pandemic, are people actually buying or simply window shopping? So I'm hoping that I think Philip will speak to Hari about Property Guru's future and also maybe do a look back at his 10-year journey.
Well, in the meantime, while we get to The Breakfast Grill, in half an hour, we're also asking you a question over on Twitter. Lynn, what are we asking everyone?
So we're asking everyone, can Bersatu survive GE15 without UMNO? And of the 90 votes or so we've received, no votes are still very much in the lead. 75% of respondents have said no, Bersatu can't survive without UMNO. 1% have said yes, they'll stay in government. 17% said yes, but they'll win less seats. Another 7% are not sure.
Interesting results. Keep letting us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio. But right now, we're taking a look at US Middle East relations because all is not well on the US Middle Eastern front here now that President Joe Biden is in charge. It looks like the president is choosing not to reach out to leaders in that region. He's seeking to sideline de facto ruler Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The White House has said that the president intended to recalibrate his relationship with the U.S. ally and to reprioritize the rule of law and respect to human rights.
One thing we know, though, the relationship that the president is most keen on is the one with Iran. So we know 2015 Iran nuclear deal saw Iran vowing to limit its nuclear program in return for the lifting of economic sanctions. But that fell through when Donald Trump abandoned the accord in 2018. So I think last week, the Biden administration offered to restart talks to revive this deal.
But of course, Iran has said that the US must first lift sanctions before it returns to compliance. So the question is, how will the Biden administration navigate these prickly relations with the Middle East?
Well, to help us with this and weighing on the subject is James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. James, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and a very good morning to you. Let's start it off with, what is the Biden administration's aim to achieve with its silent treatment here in the Middle East?
Well, I think what Biden is trying to do is several things. Overall, he wants to rejigger relationships of the United States in the Middle East, at least with several Middle Eastern countries, particularly Israel and Iran and Saudi Arabia. With regard to Iran, there are two specific objectives that Biden has. One is restore American credibility. So with other words, the United States walked away from an agreement that it had negotiated and signed, and it walked away unilaterally with no real good reason. And that raises questions about the reliability of any agreement that the United States concludes. So by trying to return to that agreement, he hopes that that credibility and reliability will be restored. Second of all, he is concerned, as are many in the Middle East and elsewhere in the world, about the Iranian nuclear program. And so rather have an Iran that is gradually walking away from an agreement that it had abided by, he wants to find a way back to that agreement. The problem with trying to get back to that agreement is that he is also at the same time trying to get further concessions from Iran. And that is probably, that is not what is not going to work at this point.
You say it's not going to work at this point. Could you elaborate more? How do you think things will play out between Iran and U.S.?
What I'm saying, to be specific, is getting more concessions out of Iran prior to a return to the status ante quo. With other words, the agreement as it was signed is not going to work. I think both sides, the United States and Iran, want a return to that agreement. The question is, one, a chicken and egg question, who goes first? The Iranians arguing that the United States walked away. Iran had fully abided. Everybody confirms that Iran had fully abided. So the onus is on the United States to return unconditionally to the status ante quo, which would mean return to the agreement, including lifting of sanctions, very harsh sanctions, that the Trump administration had imposed. Whereas the United States is saying we will return at the moment that Iran returns to that agreement, meaning Trump walked away from the agreement in 2018. In the first year, Iran really didn't do anything, just demanded that Iran, the United States return. Since 2019, it has been gradually walking away from commitments that it has under that agreement. And what Biden is saying is, you need to walk back those violations of the agreement. And once you've done that, we will immediately re-enter.
But it also seems as if there may be some mixed messaging coming from the White House. Biden says he will end support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen, but his Secretary of State is also saying it's committed to bolstering Saudi's defenses. So why the mixed signals on this front?
I'm not sure that it's a mixed signal. I think what the United States is saying is we are halting any support for an offensive war in Yemen that has created one of the world's worst humanitarian disasters and cannot be won militarily. At the same time, the United States is saying we have a commitment to the defense of Saudi Arabia. We stand by that defense. So, with other words, if you wanted to translate it into practical terms, the United States, for example, will not give Saudi Arabia guided missiles that it could use in the war in Yemen, but it will give it anti-missile defense that will allow it to fend off projectiles that are fired by the Houthis in Yemen onto Saudi territory.
Now, with Biden sidelining Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, how likely do you think Saudi Arabia will change the line of succession and demote MBS? And beyond that, can the U.S. afford to risk alienating its traditional allies in the Middle East?
I think, first of all, if you look at the overall pattern since Biden has won the election and has come to office, the pattern is that the Gulf states have, maybe on the principle of too little, too late, but nonetheless have tried to accommodate the Biden administration and anticipate what its policies will be. The one country that has taken a harder line has been Israel, which really has a multiple, a concern that it will have multiple issues with the Biden administration. And therefore, for example, on the Iran agreement has taken a hard line. It does not want to return to the agreement. Its military commander has held out the possibility of military action against Iran. Only last week, the Israeli ambassador in Washington said, we're not going to engage with the United States on Iran. Now, all of that may be posturing in an attempt to shape U.S. policy, but nonetheless, whereas the Gulf states have tried to accommodate, there's been some, very little, but nonetheless, a few gestures on human rights in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have clearly said that they want a peaceful settlement of the Yemen conflict and look forward to working with the Biden administration. Having said that, I don't think that the decision by Trump that he's going to deal with the head of state of Saudi Arabia, namely King Salman, rather than the crown prince, is going to make a difference in terms of succession in Saudi Arabia. It's highly unlikely, if not almost impossible, that King Salman would want to make that kind of a concession. And by de facto, his legacy being then that he had picked the wrong person as crown prince. There are dynamics that still have to unfold here. One of those dynamics is that the Biden administration has promised to release a CIA report on the killing in 2018 of journalist Jamal Khashoggi that reportedly points a finger in terms of responsibility at the crown prince. Obviously, once that is public, that's going to be very damaging for the Saudis and particularly damaging for Mohammed bin Salman, but I would not expect to see, as a result of that, the Crown Prince being either demoted or replaced.
James, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was James Dorsey, senior fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Now, very quickly, Lynn and Noel, what were your key thoughts here? Because the Middle East is a particularly interesting region when it comes to U.S. relations with the Gulf states and overall.
It's quite the hotbed. And I think James's point about the negotiations now with the US and Iran, it's kind of a Hublinks first situation. but the thing is that, you know, he makes the point that the US did walk away from the deal with no real good reason under the Trump administration. So now it does look incumbent upon them to make the concessions.
Well, let's hope that Anthony Blinken doesn't blink first. He's the US Secretary of State right now. Noel, do you have any thoughts on what we just discussed?
Yeah, I'm with Lynn on that. I guess if we had more time, I'm really interested to find out how he thinks things will play out between Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, if we had more time, we could talk to James about a lot of things Middle East related, really. There's so much to unpack there. But right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, an update on the relationship between UMNO and Bersatu with analysis from Dr. Oi Sun of the Singapore Institute for International Affairs. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.